Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. As I continue to preach in your hearing, for the sake of America, of A Forgotten Faith, Part 12, for the sake of the world, the lost souls of black folk and white folk, part 26. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the Lord says, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the firstfruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend, evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. Lord, help us to focus on it today and to focus on you and your holy Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. As we, Lord, as Christians, those of us who are truly born again individually, confess our sins and our wandering and our failures and our faults unto you. Help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves before you and to get back to you, our first love, in this day and time. Help us to learn from our forefathers of the faith, the Israelites. Help us to learn from their failures as you have instructed us, and not repeat the sins they did against you in the church today. Unfortunately, some of us have already. So Lord, have mercy and grace upon your people. Have your Holy Spirit not to cease working on our hearts, convicting us of our sins and the errors of our ways, the error of our ways. And Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, empty us of self, help us to die daily, crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us. Lord, help us not to get flighty on Friday, but to be filled with your Holy Spirit and weighed it down with your holy word. And Lord, I pray that lost souls would hear the gospel and be saved even today, and that Christians would be revived and brought back by your grace to their first love, and that is you, Lord Jesus. For it is in his name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Alexander Solzhenitsyn said a long time ago, if I were called upon to identify briefly the principal trait of the entire 20th century, he said, I would be unable to find anything more precise and pithy than to repeat once again, men have forgotten God. Men have forgotten God. The failings of human consciousness, deprived of its divine dimension, have been a determining factor in all the major crimes of this century. End of quote. And he was right then, and he's right now. Beloved, in our last message, we considered Israel's unfortunate behavior as recounted by the Lord of forgetting God. The children of Israel, once they got secure and comfortable in the promised land, kind of like we have in the church in America, began wandering off and dallying with false little g gods, little by little turning away from the commandments of their own God, the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, until they were engaged in full-blown idolatry. Scripture tells us that while there were periods of temporary repentance, the nation as a whole never returned fully to walk in the ways of the one true God until after the captivity in Babylon. And even that was not what it should have been. All the time, though, they largely believed that they were in the right, woefully deceived, deluded, bamboozled by the devil and run amok. Not once did they look around and say, where is the Lord? And even today in the church, we don't have many people asking, where is the Lord? The truth of the matter is, many churches and parachurch ministries have their program concocted by some little guru with a blog that they don't even think they need God anymore. But let me remind you, which somehow became my life's verse over the past 40 years, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. If God does not move, nothing worthwhile will be done. Amen, somebody. They did not feel, or at least they chose to ignore, the feelings or the feeling of the Lord's absence in their lives and in their nation. And I fear today there are many like that in the church. We don't even want to stop and understand and realize the Lord, Dene, is not with us. We have no power. We have great instruction. We have great institutions. We have great programs, but no power. And the main reason why we don't have the power is because we don't have any prayer. And the main reason why we don't have any prayer is because people have forgotten God. We believe now, nestled in our big fine houses on Pork Chop Hill, driving our Bentleys and Cadillacs and Mercedes, that we got it now, Lord. Sitting in our padded pews with a playground in the front of the church, we got it now, Lord. We're sacrificing our children to all quarters of the campus of the church, doing God knows what when they should be in the church with their parents. We got it now, Lord. We can take it from here. And Lord, it really doesn't matter whether you show up or not. Prayer is almost non-existent in many churches today. Even in the service. I thank God for the young preacher down in Jacksonville, Florida, who has instructed preachers and told preachers, I pray before every sermon. We have these little cute preachers who say, well, you ought to pray at home. Well, you don't even pray at home. That's why you don't pray before your sermon. You need to pray in the pulpit. Your people need to hear you pray, just like your children need to hear you pray. They choose to fill that void with empty ritual and hypocritical religious activity. That's what we're doing. Got a whole lot of activity going on today in the church. I feel sorry for, listen to me very carefully. I feel sorry for most people in churches, the modern churches today. There's so much going on, they can't even catch their breath. And it's all empty and a waste of time. Hardly ever is it a prayer meeting. And if you have a prayer meeting, only a few come. We must consider, my beloved, that we are in the very same place today in many of our so-called mega churches. If many of our so-called mega churches would practice true Christianity, first century Christianity, they would not be mega anymore. Because as someone said a long time ago, what you got them with is what you're going to have to keep them with. If you got them with fluff, you're going to have to keep fluff going. You got to have a comedian to come to entertain them. I assure you that the Apostle Paul never thought about having a comedian, a joker, a minstrel to help present the gospel. Have we completely forgotten God? Is the Lord in all of our thoughts? If the Lord is in our thoughts, He is going to trouble us if we are engaged in sin and idolatry. See, born again Christians know what I'm talking about. If you're truly born again, sin is going to bother you. Putting anything or anybody today before God is going to trouble your soul, your spirit. See, this is what some people don't like about God. Once you get into a relationship with the Lord, you can't do like you used to do. You can't think like you used to think. There are things you can't say anymore because God will trouble your soul, your spirit. I said something to my wife this morning that I should not have said. And the Holy Spirit of God immediately convicted me, and I changed it real quick. Because I knew I had to preach. And if the Holy Spirit is not with me, then I can't preach. I don't want to do anything to grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, I did say what I needed to say, but I said it a different way. And God didn't bother me about that. See, real born-again Christians, they will be convicted about their evil. There's something wrong with these happy Christians who are living in sin. I said it the other day, and I'll say it again. Some of you all are just too happy. You're too happy. Living in sin, saying what you want to say, doing what you want to do, being mean as the devil, cussing folk out, angry all the time, bitter, committing adultery, got a maintenance man that comes by once every week or once a month, and you just as happy as you want to be. Some of you are homosexuals in the church, practicing homosexuals. You're in the closet, or you're halfway out the closet. Some of you have grown so bold now, you bring your little homosexual friend to church with you. Go right on back out of church and commit abominations. And you just as gay as you want to be, just as happy as you want to be, I'm here to tell you, I love you. You have never been born again if that does not bother you. Amen, somebody. We can serve God and sin as Christians. This is why I direct your attention back to that passage in 1 Corinthians, how Paul told us to not commit such sins as the Israelites did. He said, use them as an example. How many times those of us who are in leadership, we have to make examples of people. And we tell people coming behind them, now listen, look what happened to so-and-so. Don't do the same thing, man. Don't be stupid. Don't act foolishly. If you're not wise, at least be smart. He fell into a ditch. You're going down the same road, just as happy as you want to be. And you're going to fall into a ditch if you don't stop. See, wise people and some smart people turn around. Even if they're not wise, they turn around. You cannot serve God and sin. And by the way, prosperity gospel people, you cannot serve God and money. Dr. B. Shaw said, it is easy for us as modern Christians to point the finger at the Israelites, and some of us have a smug attitude towards the Israelites, that somehow we are better than they are, and we're going to do better, and we have not. The church has squandered many opportunities and privileges and blessings. See, the problem with sin, my beloved, the problem with sin and not doing things God's way, you lose favor, you lose privileges, you lose opportunities, man. You lose blessings. You mess your own self up. It is a demonic Judas spirit where you must understand, when you try to betray Jesus, you betray yourself, man. You hurt yourself, man. I cannot emphasize that enough. So Benjamin Shaw said, it is easy for us as modern Christians to point the finger at the Israelites and take them to task for the fact that they forgot God, and somehow we foolishly think that we're better. We got it going on. We don't have to look at the example of the Israelites. Look at how they failed. They were just a mess. See, this is why Paul used the Israelites in the Corinthian church, because not only were the Israelites today a mess, the Corinthians, the Christians at Corinth were a mess, doing even worse than the Israelites, committing incest, fornication galore, worshiping false god, little g gods, idolatry, all kinds of evil was going on in the church at Corinth. The complaining we see in the wilderness, which God told us in the church not to do, not to follow the Israelites in complaining and murmuring and griping. The cycle of apostasy. And that's what's going on in the church today. We are witnessing the great falling away. But just because it has been predicted does not mean you have to fall away with everybody else. Preachers ought to still preach the word of God. The remnant ought to still stand for God. The 7,000 must still stand for God while we witness the falling away. The love of many has waxed cold to the point of people not even loving God anymore, loving Jesus. The cycles of apostasy, the cycles of judgment and restoration that we see in Judges, and the good king, bad king alternations that we see after the death of Solomon emphasize the incessant inability of the Israelites to heed Moses' admonition to take care lest ye forget the Lord. And every pastor ought to be preaching that today, because many folk in the pews and even many pastors have forgotten the Lord. We're running on automatic with our bad selves. We can run a church and we can start a church and just as mechanically as we can and get it up and running without God, without God's leadership. All we need is just a few statistics and demographics, and we got it going on. It's like running a business, as some have said. But it's not. However, we forget that the same applies to us. We tend to think that ignoring, or rather not fully living up to one commandment of God, is a small matter. But the result is not simply disobedience. It is the beginning of idolatry, of making a little g god in our own image, a little g god we don't mind obeying. See, we're doing the same thing. Now, beloved, you might say, well, I'm not as bad as those Israelites, because that's how we think. We think we're so much better than the Israelites now, we don't even want to read the Old Testament. Andy? Now, you might say, well, I'm not as bad as those Israelites. I think of God all the time. Jesus is constantly on my mind. But are your thoughts tuned to the God of the Bible and the Jesus of the Gospels? In our day, when many claim to live by their own personal truth, and this is so satanic and so tragic, we have people who say this in the church today. See, well, that's your truth, and this is my truth. No, but this is God's truth right here, okay, in the Bible. Okay, what are you talking about? No, that's your truth. That's how you see your truth. I see my truth like this. No, dear friend, you're following the devil, and you're not following God. His truth. It's not about your truth and my truth. God told us how to live. God made us. God saved us. And God told us how we ought to live from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It is absolute truth, God's truth. And so, beloved, In our day, when many claim to live by their own personal truth, which includes selectivism in their Christian beliefs, there are many who have constructed or adopted pseudo-gods, little fake gods, pseudo-Christs, figments that allow them to remain comfortable in their sins while maintaining a pretense of faith. My God, help us. I can stop right there. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. This is what has happened in our churches, especially in many of our so-called mega churches. In our day, when many claim to live by their own personal truth, which includes selectivism in their Christian beliefs, there are many who have constructed or adopted pseudo little g gods and pseudo little c Christs, figments that allow them to remain comfortable in their sins while maintaining a pretense of faith in God. Hypocrites, phonies, insincere, fakes. That's what pseudo means as well. It is strange to say, but we very well may have forgotten the one true God and his son Jesus Christ, even in most of our churches today. And the first step to repentance and restoration in our nation is taking a look around and saying, where is the Lord? Where is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Where is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Well, he's knocking at the door, and you won't let him in because you have your little program and you want your will to be done and not God's. Isaac Watts wrote so beautifully and so sadly, "And are we wretches yet alive? And do we yet rebel? 'Tis boundless, 'tis amazing love that bears us up from hell. The burden of our weighty guilt would sink us down to flames, and threatening vengeance rolls above to crush our feeble frames. Almighty goodness cries, forbear, and straight the thunder stays. And dare we now provoke his wrath and weary out his grace. My God, help us. Lord, we have long abused thy love, too long indulged our sin. Our aching hearts now bleed to see what rebels we have been. No more ye lusts shall ye command, no more will we obey. Stretch out, O God, thy conquering hand, and drive our sins away." Let's stand for prayer. And while you're standing, if you are a Christian today, you're a born again one, if you're truly saved, you're under conviction about your sins, here's three things you need to do. You need to acknowledge your sins, which many people in the church today don't want to do because someone has lied to them, telling them that they're the head and not the tail, and that they don't need to be bothered with sin or confess their sins, that they're not even tempted with sin. I don't know where they got this from. This came straight from hell. But you need to acknowledge your sin as a Christian. Stop worrying about somebody else's and looking down your little long nose at other people and their sins. But your sins are hidden away in the closet somewhere, you lying hypocrite. Confess and repent of your sins. You know who you are. And you already know what your sins are. You know the sins which so easily beset you and the weights that hold you down. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Stop talking about them and gossiping about them and pray for them that they will see their sins and repent and get back to their first love along with you. And then thirdly, get back on the firing line. Once you've done that, pray for lost souls to be saved. Pray for God to send in more laborers into the harvest field and go yourself. Do something for the kingdom of God each and every day, because each and every day may be your last. And when night cometh, you can't serve anymore. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor that your holy word is still true and powerful and speaks to our hearts even today, even though so many do not act like they believe it, and so many don't. And so, Lord, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults. Lord, help us to sing the song of the old saints, "It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord," standing in the need of prayer. I'm the one that needs to confess and repent of my sins and turn from my evil ways. And Lord, help us to all get there and to stop pointing the finger at other people. And Lord, help us to repent of our sins, turn from our evil ways, humble ourselves, seek your face, which means to get back to you, our first love, as you have told us in the book of Revelation, to experience a real New Testament revival. Lord, if you did not want it done, you would not have told us to do it. So Lord, help us to do it. And if it could not be done, then you would not have told us to do it. But it can be done with your grace and your help and the power of your Holy Spirit. And some have done it. Help all of us to do it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you're with us today and you have never come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell, so that your soul can be saved and go to heaven with you when you die, with God, with Jesus, with the saints, and with the angels. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's commandments, God's laws. We all have. For the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, my dear friend. We are all going to die. Just imagine these big, beautiful bodies made by God, far more powerful than any computer device. And just always remember, man made the computer, okay? So don't get enamored with the technology. God made man and man made the computer, and God gave him the ability to do so. We'll die one day. Steve Jobs has been dead a long time now. A genius. We die because of sin, our rebelliousness against God. And everybody is going to go to the grave, and because of sin, you're going to experience a funeral in your life, either somebody else's or yours. And that's why we have graveyards and funeral homes and all of the paraphernalia that goes with that, because the body is going to be buried in the grave or thrown out in off a boat into the ocean. Our souls will go to a place called hell, because the soul lives forever, either in heaven or hell. If you trust Christ as Savior, you get to go to heaven. If you reject Christ, you get to go to hell forever. And you need to accept that fact, the fact that you are on the road to hell right now if you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about your little baptismal certificate you got when you were 12 years old. I'm not talking about when you join the church. I'm talking about when you trusted Christ as Savior. Hell is a real place, because Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible, and most preachers today, sad to say. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he wanted to warn us of this awful place. He came to suffer, bleed, and die for our sins, so that we would not go to hell if we would simply believe in him. Jesus Christ is the sin bearer. John the Baptist said, "He is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world." All you have to do is put your trust in him, and when you die, God will see you in Christ, and Christ in you. Hell is a terrible place. It is forever. To me, that's the saddest aspect of hell. All of hell is sad. But the saddest aspect of hell is once you go there, you can't get out. The gates close behind you and they lock. You can't get out of the gates of hell. Jesus said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell as punishment for our sins throughout eternity. That's how bad sin is. That's how bad rebelling against God is. So hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to go there, as I told you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," his name is Jesus Christ, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God. It is your choice. This is your opportunity to get your eternal life insurance policy signed by the blood of Jesus. All of you have some form of car insurance. Many of you have life insurance. Many of you have health insurance, just in case. But just in case, there is a hell, and there is, because Jesus said so, you need your eternal life insurance policy. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will, and I'll be glad to help you with the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again on the third day, that he is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. And so, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you for the remainder of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friends of mine, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let me know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Now, dear friend, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the dead, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, dear friend, until next time, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. I don't know why.